A gulf of difference lies between Petersburg and Dillingham, literally the Gulf of Alaska, and about 1,000 miles. But both communities are remote, off the road system. USDA Regional Administrator Jesus Mendoza Jr. says that's exactly why the Food and Nutrition Service program picked him out.
A couple of weeks, I was in Alaska, and I had the pleasure to be able to experience the challenges that Alaska has in the transportation of food going to the remote areas, and how if the schools have to be on the barge system, the transportation adds to the already high cost of food that exists in Alaska. We went to some of the stores, and I was just amazed to see how the prices of bread, like $9 for a loaf of bread.
He says that expensive transportation also limits the quality and variety of foods that the rural schools can use. And by the time the food gets to port, it's already nearing its expiration date.
They have a very limited time where they can be used, so they spend a lot of time on the transportation. By the time they get there, they may have to use them right away, or they may be spoiled and unable to use them.
Mendoza Jr. hopes sourcing locally might help offset that cost and get better foods on the table. Dillingham schools are using their grant to build a hydroponic tank to grow their greens right on location. In Petersburg, Carly Johnson McIntosh oversees the school district's food program. She says they'll invest the grant in a few projects that'll bring more local foods into the lunchroom, starting right outside, in the school garden, with fruits and veggies the kids grew themselves.
And so if a kid grows it and they know that they grew it, they planted it, they're there for the whole life, they're going to be more likely to consume it. So that's the goal with school gardens, is to get them in that whole process.
But the potential for sourcing local foods extends far beyond the school's garden beds. Mendoza Jr. says he was excited to learn about the possibility of serving up Alaska's traditional foods.
Like reindeer or caribou or something like that that they have. And, you know, different areas of Alaska have different local foods. That's another thing that the training through this foundation can help them be able to prepare and make the most out of those recipes.
Petersburg students certainly won't find caribou on the menu, but they might see salmon eggs soon. McIntosh Johnson is working with Petersburg Indian Association, the local tribe, to get traditional foods in the cafeteria.
So they do salmon eggs, seaweed, the gooey duck. We have people that have moved to town and Coast Guard families who probably haven't had some of that. So it's cool to see different varieties and bringing that into the school and giving kids a taste.
But there's a catch. In order to meet the requirements for the grant, Petersburg School District has to cut back on sugar and sodium. This year, McIntosh Johnson's making sure there's less than 1,000 milligrams of sodium in each meal.
And so that includes, you know, anything from your milk, your fruit, your vegetable, your main entree, all your condiments that you put on that. If anybody's ever had to do low sodium for heart, the first bit of it is a little rough.
Next year is a sugar reduction year, and McIntosh Johnson expects that'll be an even harder adjustment. But she says making little switches here and there will help Petersburg schools reach that goal.
Yeah, they're not going to have some of the things that they really like the yummy yogurt. It's a favorite of the kids. But the Chobani is actually already approved. And they might be sad at first, but pretty soon it's just going to be habit.
If Petersburg students can survive without those extra pinches of salt and their favorite yogurt, not only will they be healthier, but the schools will get their funding for the next 2 years. In Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.